Good morning. Please be seated. It's lovely to be with you. I want to read a scripture straight away from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, a well-known scripture. Most of you will know this in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. This morning I just felt that what I want to do today is to encourage you. And I've had that confirmed with what has been said from the platform today. I'm not going to say anything new. I'm not going to say anything revolutionary. But I want to remind you of some beautiful truths to encourage you. So the reason why I'm preaching this sermon today is solely to encourage those who love Jesus. How many people here feel that they could do with a bit of encouragement? Anybody? That's most of you. Those who didn't put your hand up, what's wrong with you? We live in a world that's sorrowful, sick, sad, hateful, greedy world in which we live. And no matter how positive we are as Christians, sometimes that can wear off on you. At work, school, college, neighbors, you're looking at the TV, the news, all those dreadful things that are happening sometimes can wear off on you, no matter how positive you are. And if you're a Christian this morning, that's a wonderful thing. And I want to remind you of that, that God's done great things for us, whereof we are glad. I was brought up in a slum. I've got five sisters and three brothers. And my dad was in the First World War, and he got wounded, and they came out of that war emotionally, mentally, and physically damaged. So he turned to drink. So we never had much. We lived in a slum, brought up in a slum. We never had much. But I want to just tell you something. I like new things. Do you hear me? I love things that are new. For the first 15 years of my life, I never had anything new. Everything I had was handed down. Or, you know, today we talk about op shops, but for the old ones amongst us, we didn't have what they called op shops then. We had rummage sales and things like that. Anything you could get hold of. And my mother was always going to these places to find clothes for us to wear that have been worn by umpteen different people. So I always had hand-me-downs or clothes that were bought that other people have wore. So I never knew what new stuff was until I was 15 when I left school, got a job, and I bought myself a bicycle. It was the first new thing I ever had. So I just want to say I like new things. Amen. And if you like new things, don't get convicted about that. Don't get condemned about that. Nothing wrong with liking new. Come on, nothing wrong with it at all. Nothing wrong with liking new things. And I'm going to talk this morning about new things. The only problem with new things is they grow old. Have you noticed that? No matter what it is, it grows old. I remember I've got a car out there that it's 4 years old now. When I bought it new. And every week I washed it for the first 3 or 4 weeks. Because it was new. Polished it, washed it. It was a great new car. Quite proud of it. 4 years later, it's got dints and knots and scratches on it. And if you have a look at it, could do with a real good wash, if anybody's interested. It's not new anymore. So the newness has gone, and it's not as like it used to be. Well, that happens to everything, sadly. That can even happen to our wives and our husbands. Come on, come on. How many people want new models? Come on. I'm telling you, everything we get used to and everything grows old. And I'm looking around. You know, this morning it's a real joy to be here, and it's really good to catch up with some old folks that I know, and the emphasis is on old. Some of us have been friends for many, many years, And we didn't used to look like this. We grow old. We change. That is a wonderful scripture that I just read to you, because it says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. But that new creation is inside you, so that when you look in the mirror, you don't see it. The new creation is within you. You know, a Christian is not somebody who puts Jesus on a pedestal and says, I've got to be like him. If you think that's what a Christian is, trying to be like Jesus, I tell you now, you're failing. Because you won't ever be like him. We do with that what they did in the Old Testament with the law. In the Old Testament, they says, if we can keep the law, we'll be saved. And they couldn't keep the law. So they couldn't be saved by the law, because the law couldn't save them because they couldn't keep it. And if you think being a Christian is putting Jesus on a pedestal and saying, I'm going to try to be like him, I want to tell you, you can't. If you can't keep the law, you certainly can't be like Jesus. Come on. Well, what is a Christian? Not somebody who puts him on a pedestal and says, I'm going to try to emulate him, copy him. A Christian is a person who says, come into my heart, Jesus. Come into my life and live your life through me. You know, I've said to you before that the all the religions in the world, no matter what they are, Buddhist, Hinduism, Islam, they all say, if you are good, you can come to God. That's what all the religions teach, all of them. If you are good, you can come to God. Christianity does not teach that. Christianity teaches, come to God and he'll make you good. If you've got to wait to be good before you can come to God, I'm going to tell you, you ain't ever going to get there. I tell you that, some of you for sure ain't ever going to make it. If you're going to wait to be good, I've got to be good before I can get to God, I'm going to try to be good, you won't make it. But I'll tell you this, if you just receive him into your heart and life, something happens within. Something doesn't mean you're perfect, because we still fail as Christians, but I'll tell you what, something happens within, and you allow him to live his life through you. What does he do? He makes you inside a new person. So you and I are a new creation in Christ Jesus. I want to emphasize the new, because a new creation in Christ never gets old. You're a new creation. I became a new creation at the age of 15. I was 15 when I walked into a church to try to break up a meeting with a gang of lads. I was 15 when I came in blaspheming, smoking my cigarettes, making as much trouble as I could, but I got saved. And Jesus came into my life, and I became a new creature in Christ Jesus. It blessed me and it thrilled me then, and all these years later, he's still thrilling me now. I am a new creation. I'm not a grumpy bum of an old man. I'm a new creation, because Jesus Christ has come within my heart and within your heart, and he's brought his joy and he's brought his peace. He's brought his power. He's brought his authority. He's brought so many things to us that he's made us new creations. And you know, I want to just encourage you. See, some of you are forgetting it. Some of you look in the mirror, you don't see that new creation. Some of you forget it. You look around, you read the newspapers, you see all the terrible things that are happening. Some of you here really need encouragement. You put your hands up. Some of you need encouraging. Maybe work is a problem. Maybe the marriage you're going through is a problem. Maybe the kids are a problem. Maybe you've got sickness in your body. Maybe you're under all sorts of temptation. And these things can wear us out if we're not careful. And we can forget that we are a new creation. Jesus Christ has come into my heart and has made me an eternal creature. I will live forever in him. So starting with that, which is, and I like new things, you see, but I like new things that don't wear out. It's amazing. You know, we have these, verge cleanups. You know when people drop all this stuff? I remember when they first started, years ago, people used to chuck all sorts of rubbish out. And nobody wanted what, it was rubbish. But I go around the streets now, people go around picking stuff up. Because they don't throw rubbish out anymore, they throw good stuff out. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you young people wouldn't know that because you don't know what it is to have nothing. But these older ones here that's come through the war and born during the, they know what it is to have nothing. They know what it is to hang on to something. They know what it is that when we used to have to darn socks. You know, who does that today? They throw them away. We used to darn them over and over again. If your clothes wore out, you put a patch on them. We know those days. We've gone through them. But today I go around and I see the stuff that people throw away is good stuff, but it's not new anymore. So they want something new. Well, I want you to know that every day you wake up, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Every single day. And along with this new creation has come a new heart. He says, you're not going to have a heart of stone. I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. I've got a new heart. It's in there. Hallelujah. I'm a new creation. If you could get a spiritual tin opener and come and open me up, you would be surprised what you would see. The glory of God is within me. It is. The glory of God is within you. The power of God, the glory of God, the grace of God, the peace of God, the joy of God is within you and me. We just don't see it. In fact, Paul says we have this treasure in earthen jars. So the excellency of the power will be of God and not of us. Because he don't want you to look in the mirror and see all this and think how good you are. The glory goes to him. But there's glory within you. Isn't that great? And not only has he given us a new heart, the new creation, I found that when I came to him, I got a new father. Now listen. Some of you have had wonderful fathers. And some of you have had pretty pathetic fathers. My father was pathetic. But I'm a wonderful father. You ask my kids. I can say that because they're not here now. But you can ask. I'm a wonderful father. I know I'm a good father. I know I'm a good grandfather. And I know I'm a good great-grandfather. I know I am. But I had a father that wasn't good. He was a drunkard. Never ever told me he loved me, never put me on his knee, never kissed me, never embraced me, never did anything like that. Just wanted to knock me around. I didn't know what a good father was. I used to be afraid of the word father, dad. But when I became a Christian, I realized I got a new father, a heavenly father, who only said good things about me. See, my natural father couldn't say anything good about me. Never could. Never would he say anything good about me. But my heavenly father tells me I'm the apple of his eye. Amen. He reckons I'm all right. He looks at me. And I want to tell you, I was a pretty rotten kid. I was a nasty, horrible kid. Nasty. I mean, horrible. Didn't deserve anything. But Jesus saved me. And I got a heavenly father. I got a new father who's going to be my dad for eternity. Hallelujah. So, I got a new dad. Isn't that good? Now, there's nothing wrong because my kids have got me and they know I'm a good dad, but they've also got a new dad. And when my daughter Pamela was, when she was little, when she was about 6 years old, she used to believe everything I said because I was a dad. I was the strongest man in the world. I was the wisest man in the world. She'd come home from school and tell me something. I'd say, oh no, love, it's not like that. The teacher's got that wrong. This is how it is. And she used to believe me. Everything I said to my daughter when she was little, she believed me. Then she grew up. And she stopped believing anything I said, especially in the teens. But you know, that image still stays. When we're crossing the road, she'd hold my hand and no truck or bus could knock us down. Because Dad's here. Nobody could bully her because Dad's the strongest man in the world. And Dad knows everything. And unfortunately, she grew up and realised I wasn't. But she still loves me because she knows I'm a good dad. But she's got a heavenly father that really is the strongest one in the world, that really can protect her from all harm, that really does know everything. Isn't that glorious to know? So you've got a new creation, a new heart. You've got a new father. And something else God's given to us. He's given us a new song. Now, time doesn't allow me to go through all these scriptures, but you just look in the book of Psalms. We've got a new song. You've got a song to sing to the Lord. He's put a new song in your heart, a song of the redeemed. Hallelujah. Now, again, for the older ones amongst us, we've lived a long time, and we've heard a lot of songs. Songs in the world come and go, come and go, come and go, come and go. And they stay around a bit if they're making money. Have you noticed the songs that stay around, the songs are making money? So they stay around, but then when they're not making money, they bring some other new song. And so all these songs come, and some of the songs are nice. Oh, don't get me wrong. I'm not against worldly songs. Some songs I like, some singers I like very much. Don't get me wrong. But I've got a song that never wears out. I've got a song of love. It's a love song to my God. He's put a new song in my heart. There's something about singing that's very important. There's something about music that lifts the spirit. Yes. Have you noticed that when you feel down, have you noticed that when you feel perhaps a little bit depressed or oppressed, have you noticed you don't want to sing? Do you know depressed people can't sing? Or they can catch the tune and they can sing the words, but when they sing, nothing happens in there. Nothing. And I want to tell you that music has a way of doing something to Christians. Music is a wonderful thing. If I had a guy in our church, it was Pamela's church. I'm not a pastor anymore, you see. And that's really wonderful because I could tell people what I think now. For 34 years, I had to scrape. But now I could tell. This guy came in, old bloke, been saved for I don't know how many years. And he'd only been on his visit. He comes in, and when the music had finished, and we were going shaking hands with people, he came through. He said, "Oh, I had to go out. It's just too loud here. This music's just too loud." And I said to him, "Well, you better find another church, then, haven't you?" I said, "Screw it, I've got a change for you." I said, "What do you mean to me?" I said, "Let me just tell you something. If you think some music's too loud now, wait till you get to heaven." I said, "I feel sorry for you." I said, "You know what you should do? If you think it's too loud, put some earplugs in your ears and stop criticizing." Amen. He said, "What?" I said, "Put some earplugs in your ears and stop criticizing or go get another church." Amen. I felt really good. Now, come on. Some of you are saying to me now, what a horrible man you are. No. Where's your love? Where's your compassion? Where's your pastoral gifting? Well, I used it for 35 years, okay? I've retired now. I can be me. Amen? So be careful what you say to me. He's given us a new song. And there's nothing wrong with the music being turned up. I said to this guy, as far as I can understand, there's only going to be 30 minutes of silence in heaven. And the rest of it is going to be praising God for the rest of eternity. So he didn't like that. So he didn't come back, by the way. And you may say, "Oh, maybe the guy had problems with his ears." Well, I understand that. Come on, I understand that hearing can be a problem to some people. I understand that. I'm getting old myself, so I understand. But I will never leave a church because of the loud music. I'll get some of those earplugs, pop them in, because not all the songs are loud. They have a worship time when it quiets down. I take the plugs out then and worship. Amen. I don't know why I'm emphasizing this. Maybe somebody needs to hear this morning. So not only do we have a new song, and you've got a new song, use it. Yes. Sing to the Lord, not just on a Sunday morning, but every day of the week. You sing to the Lord. Whether you feel like it or not, do it. Break through the darkness. Break through the clouds. Let praise be like an arrow that breaks through. And I'll tell you what, the sun is shining on the other side of the clouds. Amen. Not only do you have a new song, but you got a new name. I like this. I don't know what it is. God's given me a new name. Now, my name is quite a good name, by the way. John. John means loved of God. So isn't that a good name? Yep. I had that name before I fell in love with God. My mum gave me the name John. And I'm walking about for all these years loved of God. Didn't know it. But I know it now. But he's done something else. When I got born again, and you got born again, he's given you a new name. You have a new name written down in glory. Book of Revelation tells us this. You don't know what it is, and I don't. Let me just say this. All names, when they first started, were supposed to have a meaning behind them. So people's names, you could trace your name back. Every one of you that got a name here, you could go and trace it, what it means, and maybe the origin of it, how it started. Because it detects something. And all our names are given to us by our parents, and they got connotations with that. And that's not bad. That can be good. It can be bad, depending on what your name is. Because there's some stupid names out there at the moment. Some of these kids, I'll tell you what, I feel sorry for them. Some stupid name. Anyway, that's a connotation. But you get born again. If you get born again, you got another name. Now, you're not going to know it until heaven. Well, on that day when it all, you'll know, and you'll see what your name is. And your name will depict your personality and your character. So be careful. So not only do we have a new creation and a new heart and a new father and a new song and a new name, this is the bit I like the best. We're going to have a new body. See, when you said, you know, hope is a good thing, you know, the best is coming. When you said that, I thought, yeah, the best is coming, but not here. When I get my new body, the best is coming. Now, I want to tell you, because I've been a Christian for a long, long time. I was 15 when I got saved. I'm 78 now. So I've been a Christian for a long, long time. So I've been there, done that, seen the highs, seen the lows, seen people come, seen people go. I've seen it all. And no matter how... No matter how much you progress in God, you still get problems. There isn't one person here that's problem-free. Come on. You've still got problems. No matter how old you get, you still get problems. And one of the problems that I find that I don't like is growing old. When I see Adam, I'm going to have a go at him and Eve. Because we only grow old because of them. You know that, don't you? You know that? And, you know, I once said in a church, I can't see anything good about growing old. This lady came to me afterwards, really super spiritual, and came out with all these spiritual things about growing old. You know, I thought, that'd be stupid. There's nothing good about growing old. Oh, but you have more wisdom. No, not because you're growing old you get wisdom. You get wisdom from the Word of God. Young people can have great wisdom. No. You will find this odd to understand these young people, but when I was younger, I was a handsome-looking dude. I had black hair. I mean, really black. Like, you know your hair's nice and black. I had black hair like that. Only I had big sideburns, long black hair. And at one time, I had a big black beard. Yeah, serious. Well, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. I grew old. And along with growing old, you get aches. My old mother used to say, every time she got in a car and out of a car, how hard it was, how aches and pains get. I used to think, oh, shut up, Mum, don't be silly. But I know what she means now. How many of you older ones, it's hard work getting in and out of a car. Anybody going to agree with me? Hands up, come on, be honest. There's the hands going, yes. And the other thing is, when you drive for a distance and you get out, you sort of, nothing moves. Now, all these young people, they're looking at me now thinking, what a stupid man he is. Well, that, nothing like that. It will. If you live long enough, it'll happen to the lot of you, I'm telling you. It just does. There's nothing good about growing old. One good thing that we have, and I always say this, you've heard me say it before, I really thank God for mirrors. I'm looking around you now, and I can guarantee apart from two of you that you've all looked in a mirror this morning. I can guarantee it, because you didn't wake up looking like that. Am I right? You wake up and you stumble into the bathroom and you look at yourself and, oh God, what is that looking at me? And immediately you get all this paraphernalia out and you start to... Then you get the tweezers. Never had tweezers when I was a teenager and a young... I've got tweezers now. You grow hairs in your ears. When you get older, you just do. It's just one of those things. It just happens. So growing old, don't tell me it's good. It's not. But you know what the Apostle Paul says? The day is coming when Jesus appears and he will change our vile body so that it will be likened unto his glorious body. And I'm not being funny when I say this. I'm not being awful, but... You understand, I've said it to you before, you've heard me say it several times. In heaven, there's no Avon ladies. They're not needed. In heaven, we will be handsome and beautiful. And right now, to make ourselves handsome and beautiful, we have to do a lot of work. Every day. And it costs a lot of money. You probably spend more on your face than you do on your mortgage. But in heaven, there'll be none of that. There'll be no reason for that at all, because our body will be new and it will be eternal. And how old will we be in heaven? I tell you, we won't be 78 or 80 or 90 or 100. We won't. I reckon in heaven, we'll be around about 25. That's a good age. Because the funny thing is, we're new creations, and even though our body's growing old, we think young. I mean, how many times have you thought, I could do that? Then you try and you can't. Your body can't do it, but your mind says you can. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? You think that you're back there 20, 30, 40 years ago, but you're not. But your mind is. So I reckon 25 is a good age. So in heaven, we'll all be 25 and we'll all be speaking English. Well, I'm not too sure about that. But we'll all be young. Isn't that wonderful? And we're never going to grow old. We're going to have a new body. Hallelujah! Wonderful. A body that will be a body. It will be flesh and bone. Not flesh and blood, but flesh and bone and spirit. And you can walk through a wall. You'll be able to actually walk through a wall, and there'll be no, and you can move at great speed. It says, our body is going to be fashioned like the body of Jesus when he rose from the dead. Just if you could imagine that, what he could do. He could even eat. I like that. Jesus had a meal with his disciples. He ate after the resurrection. So you see, in heaven, there's going to be lots of pavlova. There's going to be lots of cheesecakes, but you can't get fat. You can't put weight on. There's no calories. Doesn't affect us. Isn't that wonderful? He's not taking our appetite away. He's giving us a new body to be able to handle it. Come on. I want to encourage you today. That's something to look forward to. That's a great hope that we've got. And lastly, and I finish with this, I want to read a scripture, one of my favorite scriptures from Revelation. And it's 21. You like this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. Listen to this. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he says, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. God is going to make everything new. A new heaven and a new earth. The earth that we know will not be destroyed. It will be refashioned. We will still be on the earth. The meek shall inherit the earth. But it will be a beautiful place. It won't be a place like it is now where the law of the jungle rules. That won't be like that at all. When he says that all the animals and all creation, the all of creation is waiting for the sons of God because they are groaning and travailing in pain together tonight, waiting for the time when the sons of God come forth and put everything right. I don't know about the climate change and all those things. It's a bit complicated for me. I hear the yes, I hear the no, I hear the fors and the against. I don't know. But I do know there's going to come a climate change. A spiritual climate change. Because God is going to make all things new. And he's going to take the devil and his cohorts and all those who laugh and mock at him. All those who won't reach out to him. And they're going to go to a lost eternity. And those like you and me who followed him, even in our weakness, we followed him. Even in our frailty, we followed him. Even though we don't understand all the answers, we follow him. God sees that. You know, the Bible says the eyes of the Lord range to and fro throughout the earth, looking for those whose hearts are interested in and joined to him. And he seeks to strengthen them. When I was a young boy, or not a young boy, a young man, I think I just got married, and my sister died of a tumor on the brain. Again, I've told you this story before, but she died of this tumor on the brain. It was terrible. I'd led her to the Lord. She was a Christian, but she got a tumor on the brain right on the front there. And to cut a long story short, she had an operation, was not successful, couldn't get the roots out, and they said to her, you'll die of it. And she had 3 more years to live, and she was in excruciating pain. I've seen her banging her head against a wall in such agonizing pain. When she died, I was so angry with God. I was a young man. Our church had prayed, and she died. Because I happen to believe in healing. I did then. I still do. But she died. And I don't understand why or how she died this terrible way. And we buried her, and I was angry with God. I didn't give up on God, but I was angry. I told God, I don't understand it. I don't think it's fair. It's not right. And I remember reading that scripture about 3 weeks later. I just happened to open it at Revelation and read it. He says, the day will come when God's going to wipe away every tear from our eyes. There'll be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more death. And the Spirit said to me, John, I want you to know your sister is with me. And she doesn't have a tumor. He says, you'll see her one day. And when you see her, you won't have a sickness in your body at all. That gave me great consolation. Because I didn't count. I still have questions concerning that. But I don't count by question marks. All these years later, my darling wife, I've been married to 59 years. She's got dementia. I nursed her for 7 years, which was very, very difficult. And she's been in a nursing home here at Annamaroo now for nearly 18 months. She does know me sometimes. She doesn't, but mostly she knows me. She doesn't know the kids very well. She doesn't know the grandkids. Sometimes she's just like a vegetable. She sits here and can't talk, or couldn't when she first went in. Do you know what? That hurt me. And I asked God a lot of questions about that. I still do. And I got no answers. There are no answers. But I'm not going to camp by that disappointment. I'm not going to camp by that question mark. I'm going to make the most of it. When she first went in, because she was distressed because I wasn't there, she would walk the corridors trying to get out, look for me. It was terrible. And so I started to pray, God, I pray that your peace will come upon her. Yes. You will keep her in perfect peace. That's a scripture I quoted from Isaiah. Keep her in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. And a little voice said to me, that can't happen because her mind is not centered on God. She's got dementia. You can't pray that prayer for her. I believe that was the enemy telling me that. Yeah. And immediately, the scripture came into my mind from Philippians. It says, you will keep him. No, he says, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will garrison your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So I says, thank you, Lord. I'm taking that scripture then. Satan, I'm taking that scripture. The peace of God that passes understanding. My wife hasn't got the mind, but I'm praying for it. So I've been praying that peace. And you know what? My wife now is a beautiful peace. She has the joy of the Lord within her. And she has changed in the last 4 or 5 months. She lost that much weight. She looked like a skeleton. And they were concerned because she wasn't eating. Of course, I had to spoon feed her. And she wasn't eating. She's eating well now. She's put on 2 kilos in the last 3 weeks. And do you know what? They love her in there. There are some African carers who are Christians. They love her so much that they buy clothes and jewelry for her. I mean, they buy African clothes. She'd never be seen dead in them normally. You know, my wife never had big chunky. She was petite, you know, those of you know more, petite little girl, little earrings. And little, they've got these great big dangling earrings, and they put them on her. And for Good Friday, they dressed her up in this African gear and took the photographs, and they've got one on the wall of her. And she looked terrific. They put makeup on her. My wife never wore makeup hardly. They put makeup for me because she wanted to make her look good for Good Friday when I went in to see her. Isn't that wonderful? But this is the thing that's happened. She starts to tell people all the time now that she loves them. All the time she's telling them. She'll walk by the corridor, she'll stop one of the kids, she says, oh, you are lovely, I love you. And then she'll walk on. She started to tell people. Nobody does that in there with dementia. And the top lady I was with her just last week walking down the corridor, and this top nurse came by, and she says, hello, Julie, how are you? She says, I'm wonderful. And she says, and I think you're a wonderful lady to her. So the lady came up to her, gave her a big hug and a kiss. And I think that even though her mind is gone, the Christian influence within her is still coming out. Hallelujah. Come on. Do I have questions? Yes, I do. Do I have disappointments? Yes, I do. But I keep reminding myself, I'm a new creation. I got a new heart. I got a new song. I got a new name. I got a new father. I'm going to have a new body. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And my wife, in that dementia center, will walk it with me. And she won't have dementia in heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I just want to encourage you, young people, and you older people, as you travel through life as a Christian, life will not be fair to you. Life will not be kind to you. Life will not be good to you. I'm talking about this life, secular. But you've got something that this world can't give. And the world can't take it away. I'm going to see every one of you in heaven. And it's going to take some time for me to recognize some of you. Because you won't be looking how you look now. What a wonderful thought that is. Come on. Come on. And you'll be filled with joy and peace. You'll have the gifts and the talents that you have now. Those beautiful things that you have now. They won't go in heaven. They will be enlarged in heaven. If you're a painter now, you'll paint in heaven. If you're sculpting now, if you're a singer now, you'll sing in heaven. If you're a musician now, you'll be a musician in heaven. If you're in the medical industry, well, you're going to have to find a new job. Because we've got a great future, folks. So I'm not trying to belittle your pain or your sorrow. I'm not belittling your problem. I just felt on the way down this morning that God says, just encourage them. Yeah, good. Let them know they've got something good. Even though there's a lot of lousy things happening around them. You think of what happened to Jesus. The worst happened to him. And he's the one we're following. Don't expect anything better. The worst happened to him. But he's my hero. He's my hero that they took hold of and crucified, beat him, spat on him, plucked his beard, nailed him to a rugged cross, and he died. That's the kind of hero I like, because he did that for me. He took my sins, my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary, and he suffered and died alone. Amen. Now, time has gone, so we won't have a last song. I'm going to close in prayer. Time has gone. I've taken more time than I expected. Sorry. But it was a good sermon, wasn't it? I tell you what, I feel really good now. I'm really glad they invited me, because I feel better. I'm going out there better than I came in. Amen. And I hope that person who had the car window up, you closed it, because it's Gosnells. But even if you go out there and your cars go, we passed it in Girraween, and regularly in Girraween, cars were broken into and smashed and taken away. Yeah. Doesn't matter. If you've been to church, you've got something good that's of eternal value. Yeah. I like new things. I still like new things. I like nice Fitbit, nice clothes. Do you like my clothes? Yeah. I like new things. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But I like what I've got in God far better. Yeah. So, Father, I want to thank you for every person here. Every man, woman, boy, and girl that is in this place today, I thank you for them. Lord, you just see their life. You see just where they're coming from. And you know the trials that some of them are going through. Some of the pain, some of the suffering, some of the anxiety, some of the questions that they have that they don't seem to find any answers for. But Lord, I pray that today you will have encouraged their hearts. I pray that they will see that what they have in you is of eternal value. And as they put their trust and their confidence totally in you, Lord, you will bring them through. Because your word says that all things work together for good to those who love God. And now, Lord, we can't understand that with our finite minds. We can't work that out. We can't mathematically work it out. How can bad things turn out for our good? We don't know. But you do, because you are the great creator. And I just pray that what is it happening to people here today, you'll take those things and somehow, some way, turn them around for the glory of your name, because they love you. Bless them and use them for your glory. Bless this church. Lord, I thank you for this great missionary church. I pray it continue to be such and continue to reach out both locally and overseas. May your blessing, your peace be with every one of us in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. God have a night.